Today on VFN TV, the Center for Medical Progress again has allegedly loosed a new video of Planned Parenthood doctors talking about how they sell the babies, how they end the life of the baby, and some very tragic, devastating realities. We're going to talk about that. We're going to show you the undercover video. Also, we're going to talk about the morality of abortion right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence, and God put a mercy visit. Instead, he put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I took
it. Within 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land?
I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homes. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Today is really a tragic program, but one that's real. The Center for Medical Progress, David DeLeiden. Now, remember, we had David DeLeiden on our program, and he's the one that went undercover with the Center for Medical Progress and to investigate, is Planned Parenthood really ending the life of children, encouraging women to abort their children, and selling baby body parts? And based on what he found out, allegedly, that's exactly what they were doing. Well, a new video is out, and it's very tragic. A particular doctor, Taylor, as she describes how she does abortions and practices, it just breaks your heart. Well, we're gonna show you that video, but I wanna tell you this, that if in fact you have children in the room or something of that nature, you might not want them to be able to see this, but I wanna tell you something prophetic first. This is what the Lord told me. When we're seeing this kind of evil going on, he said, the seat of evil, this is what he told me personally. He told me prophetically, he said, the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Notice this, every single time, if you look, study history, evil increases right before it's taken out. And we're looking at a great increase of the ending of children's life in America and really around the world, the ending of life. And so we want to hold on to that word. Even though we're watching this, we're seeing an end to it. We have a pro-life president, a pro-life vice president, a Congress that said they were pro-life, and things are beginning to end, which means we're for life. So prepare yourself. You're about to see this undercover video done by David DeLeiden, the Center for Medical Progress. When you hear them talking, you don't see their faces. That's actually David DeLeiden undercover with a assumed name, presenting himself as a person who procures or buys fetal tissue or baby body parts, and they're talking to him about what they would offer him. Prepare yourself. This is definitely parental guidance suggested. Let's take a look now.
Look, I think health screenings are important. I think Planned Parenthood probably does some good work. But the reason it's a controversial place is it's because it's the country's biggest abortion provider, and you're one of the people who run it. And so I just want to know what you think. If you can hear the fetal heartbeat and then it's extinguished, what do you think of that? Is that a big deal or not to you? And if not, why not?
Well, I take seriously all of the healthcare work that we provide at Planned Parenthood. I believe in safe, legal abortion. I believe it's up to each woman and individual.
I know, but what do you think?
So
what is
I'm not going to make a judgment.
It's not a matter of how I feel about it coming out of 10. But I got to worry about my staff and people's feelings about it coming out looking like a baby.
Is there any standard procedure for verifying signs of life?
Well, the thing is,
I didn't go in a chart.
I mean, the key is you need to pay attention to who's in the room, right?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Deborah Nucatola. I'm the Senior Director of Medical Services for Planned Parenthood Federation of America.
A lot of people want it.
tech parts these days because they're looking for specific nodes, AV nodes, SA. I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Good for them.
And on behalf of all of us at Planned Parenthood Federation of America and our partners at Society of Family Planning, I'd like to welcome you to the North American Forum on Family Planning, as well as this, the George Tiller Memorial Networking Reception. Now, networking reception. Those of you who have seen me in the last hour have seen that I basically spend this reception running around introducing people to other people, and that's exactly why this meeting was created.
Robert Sarkis with Biomass Procurement Services.
Oh, okay.
We do tissue collection.
Oh, sweet.
Good to meet you.
And they're looking for Arizona's an area where they might be able to.
Right. We're based out of the Los Angeles area, like Norwalk, Long Beach, that kind of area.
Okay.
So Devin mentioned you as well as the, I guess, the Planned Parenthood affiliate in Arizona, as well as good connections to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you?
It's been on my mind because I used to work at Planned Parenthood Los Angeles, and we used to have
Novagenix, I think, is the one that comes in to do it there.
Yeah.
So you have experience with providing material for research purposes. Yeah.
Due to some things going on at Planned Parenthood, I get a lot of referrals from Planned Parenthood. So I used to be medical director at Planned Parenthood, Arizona. That's how I ended up in Arizona.
Okay.
Because I was with Planned Parenthood Los Angeles, and also I was had an academic position at USC. That's how I know Deb Nicotola, because she trained me as a fellow.
It's good to know that someone is kind of consistently going up to 20 to 24 weeks, because especially when someone wants neural tissue, they're wanting, they want fetal brain, they want both hemispheres, and for whatever reason, like, the sweet spot tends to be like 18 to 22 weeks.
Okay. Well, I go up to 24 weeks. There is a practice that kind of preferentially gets the anomaly referrals.
Right, no, we want healthy tissue, healthy normative.
The most of the patients that come to me are elective. They present themselves.
And you go electively up to 24 weeks. Okay.
This week coming up, I have a 15-weeker on Tuesday so far. I have a 20-weeker starting on Thursday so far.
Obviously, some of the parameters that we're working with then, tissue needs to be pretty much, pretty intact, because the more physically traumatized it gets, the more the stem cells get kind of mashed up and aren't available for collection.
Now, the thing is, I don't do induction, so, like, my technique is a disarticulation technique, so, we'd have to kind of talk about, like, exactly what it is that you're needing.
Right.
Because
breach position is great. We'll just throw that out there.
Part of the issue is it's not a matter of how I feel about it coming out intact, but I got to worry about my staff and people's feelings about it coming out looking like a baby. It's not a matter of how I feel about it coming out intact, but I got to worry about my staff and people's feelings about it coming out looking like a baby.
A lot of variables going on.
That becomes an issue.
Yeah. That's interesting that there's a kind of an issue with the staff to have to kind of protect their comfort level. That's so interesting. I mean, do you ever find yourself in a situation where, like, it would be easier if this case kind of wants to come out intact, but you are kind of like, you have to make sure it doesn't, so the staff doesn't freak out? Or
that's one. And then another issue is Arizona is so conservative. I just don't even want to send a full fetus to for cremation or anything
that's
trouble. Right.
We have the people who do our paperwork for the fetal death certificates. They email us calling them baby so and so. And I'm like, that's creepy. They email us calling them baby so and so. And I'm like, that's creepy.
You know your environment. That's it so well. Like,
it's creepy. So, I mean, there are a lot of variables that come into play. You know, sometimes, too, just the patient.
It just happens.
So that happens.
Do you didge?
Yeah.
Starting when?
20 weeks. Starting at 20 weeks. Okay. Because that's the other thing, because, you know, DIG kind of rules out.
It ruins the integrity of the specimen.
I mean, it kills the stem cells.
I mean, so the thing is, it's really, and then that really is an issue because in Arizona, if the fetus is comes out with any signs of life, we're supposed to transport it.
Uh-huh. At any gestational age?
Any gestational age.
Is there any standard procedure for verifying signs of life?
Well, the thing is,
that doesn't go in a chart.
I mean, the key is you need to pay attention to who's in the room, right? The key is you need to pay attention to who's in the room, right? And, like, you know.
Right.
Because the thing is, the law states you're not supposed to do any maneuvers after the fact to try to cause demise. So it's really tricky.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's really hard to navigate that bad.
Yeah. It's really tricky. So, we do, most of the time, we do DIG, and it usually works. And then we don't have to worry about that because the Arizona State law says if there are signs of life, then we're supposed to transfer.
Yeah.
Research shows that DIG doesn't make the procedure easier in someone who is well trained. But I have to tell you anecdotally, my biceps appreciate when the DIG works.
Really? So, it's in the biceps when you're doing a DNA?
It does not take me any longer to complete the procedure, but it is more
for. Really? What is it when? So when you're doing it, when you're doing a non-DIG DNE, it's your. Yeah. That's where. That's
it takes
where the.
A bit more. It takes a bit more. Yeah.
Wow.
So I remember when I was a fellow and I was trained, I was like, oh, I have to go to the gym for this.
You have to go to the gym in order to do it. What age? When does it start? What gestation does it start getting really difficult? Like it is like a workout.
20 weeks.
At 20, that's when it becomes difficult.
It can get difficult.
Wow.
Now, ideally, you want to have the you know, the best amount of dilation as possible. So I think again, it really kind of comes to in someone who's choosing to participate, we might just take a little extra time, you know, to make sure that we have the dilation.
Right.
And so a little more time on the front end.
Right.
Of course. Right. You know, easier procedure on the back end. If I'm not going to be doing disarticulation, which I would normally do.
Right.
You know, so. Reach makes it a lot easier because
yeah, sure,
you know.
Say.
But the thing is, there still has to be some decompression of the calvarium for it to come out.
Interesting. Because, you know, Deb had mentioned to me that if you're doing, if there's dilation that happens as the case goes on, if you're extracting from breech, and then at the end that if there's, you know, you do it enough, and so then the calvarium can come out intact.
So if you do it starting from the breech presentation, there's dilation that happens as the case goes on, and often the last kind of evacuated intact.
Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, you know, we're going to start the procedure before we get to that point. So it's really like, in order to get you an intact calvarium, the patient's really going to have to go into labor.
Oh, it's going to have to be essentially a DNE, or essentially an induction.
Yeah, because generally, you know, especially in a breech presentation, everything's going to come out and the head's going to get trapped.
Uh-huh.
That's usually what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And so generally, you know, then we just take forceps and, you know, do the rest. So, ideally, you know, the patient would have dilated in the efface enough that it just
awesome. Right. I mean,
for the most part, in general, unless there's like complete dilation that's going to allow the head to come out, there's going to be some level of decompression on the way out. Even if I have not completely, if I'm not using an instrument to try to
do
but again, in a patient who, you know, is consenting to that, then.
Right, to an induction.
It might take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I think it's worthwhile to explore.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, do you, I mean, and we you know, we return a portion of our researcher fees to the clinics and private practices that work with us. So, you know, just because, you know, if we're going to come in and do all that, we want to make it worth it, you know, worthwhile for you and make sure that it's a partnership that, you know, that benefits everybody.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, so that's, you know, that's all stuff to, you know, to talk about kind of how to fit all the pieces together. But, I mean, it sounds like,
Yeah, I'm absolutely interested. I feel pretty good. I mean, my market share of the abortion services, it continues to increase. So
interesting.
It is very interesting to see how it all plays out.
And you go, luckily, up to 24 weeks. Okay.
It's not a matter of how I feel about it coming out in 10, but I got to worry about my staff and people's feelings about it coming out looking like a baby. I mean, the key is you need to pay attention to who's in the room, right?
I basically spend this reception running around introducing people to other people, and that's exactly why this meeting was created.
This is just breaks your heart when you're seeing this. You know, you're just. But the thing about it is, we got to tell ourselves it's real. It's really happening. It's happening right in our cities. Millions and millions of children have been aborted since 1973, since Roe versus Wade has been passed by the Supreme Court. And it matters for us standing up for the unborn life and standing up for life in general. If we don't stand up for life in the womb, they won't stand up for our lives as we get older in life. Life becomes invaluable. This was so many things that was said and discovered in this investigation, this alleged investigation by David DeLayden that you're seeing right here behind me, that we want to break it down and just kind of understand what's really going on, because they're using scientific words and medical words for words like babies and babies' heads and babies' bodies and life. And we're going to look a little bit deeper in this. So join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is such a tragic reality, but we're just looking. Remember, the Lord, I shared this earlier on the program, what God shared with me, and I shared it on our earlier programs when God first shared it with me. But he said that the seat of evil is going to come down, and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. But it means it's not down yet. Yeah. And so we're watching a great increase in evil. But the same way that you're looking at where, you know, Kim Jong-un, we have in our next program, you got to catch our next program, where he's doing that to human beings who are alive.
Yes.
America's doing it right now to human beings who are still in the womb.
Yeah.
And so it's so overwhelming, you know, the things that they're saying. It's like, isn't this tragic? And you think, well, the words they're using, so I want to break
and medical it. Terms that disguise the reality and the brutality of what really is happening.
Right. And so we just want to, you know, take it one clip at a time and let's just talk about it because we want to really understand what's going on. And I think Dr. King says it's not the people who do evil or do these different things to people. I forget the quote, but he says it's the people who remain silent.
And do nothing.
Your friends who remain silent and do nothing. And so let's just take a look. This is a clip from Center for Medical Progress where they went undercover, where David DeLeiden went undercover. You probably see even David now, David DeLeiden. He went undercover and presented himself as a buyer of baby body parts, fetal tissue. And in that, this tragedy is revealed. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look. This is the first clip.
It's not a matter of how I feel about it coming out of 10, but I got to worry about my staff and you know, people's feelings about it coming out looking like a baby.
So Dr. Deshaun Taylor right here, she's talking to DeLeiden undercover,
right?
And she's saying, he said, do you have a problem with, you know, babies being born alive, I guess,
or
how intact, which means not ripped apart, not their heads crushed. They use different words for it. That's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. What's what she's saying. And she says very specifically, well, it doesn't matter how I feel, which would assume to me is like, it doesn't cause her to feel any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
And she's the one doing this. Mm. She's the one that's putting hands on that child. It doesn't matter to me how I feel about the baby, basically, coming out intact, which means together or not together. And of course, this is the interesting thing you'll find out as we look at these. They're more concerned about the baby being whole. They're not worried about the baby coming out in parts. Hmm. We're thinking the other way around. They're going to be upset because the baby's all broke up and torn apart and crushed. And they're going, she's basically saying, no, if it comes out looking like what it really is, then that's where she says, you know, I've got to worry about the staff, my staff that's around, you know, people's feelings about it, and they call the baby a it. It's tragic, is it not?
It's horrific, you know, and when you look at this, they're using these tools, these vice grips. In a previous program, we showed a former abortionist who got saved, and he testified before Congress, showing them the tools and the brutality, the ripping and the tearing and the crushing of the skull, pulling it out piece by piece.
Pulling the baby out piece
and
by
so
piece.
And so she's saying here, you know, she has no feelings about it, but her concern is what her staff feels. And my concern is there some sort of sense of guilt for the staff?
It's like somebody not feeling guilty if they steal the cookies from the cookie jar if nobody's watching. But if somebody's watching, so why would you be concerned about somebody seeing it if ultimately it wasn't bad and what was going on? And so let's take a look at this next clip where Dr. Deborah, how do you pronounce her last name? Nicotola?
Yes.
Nicotola. She's the one that actually is going to reveal here that she trained this Dr. Taylor, and she's the one connecting clients with her to be able to send people. And it's crazy. But here, this is the
connection there.
The connection between. Take a look.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Deborah Nicotola. I'm the Senior Director of Medical Services for Planned Parenthood Federation of America.
A lot of people want intact parts these days because they're looking for specific notes, AV notes, SA. I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Good for them.
And on behalf of all of us at Planned Parenthood Federation of America and our partners at Society of Family Planning, I'd like to welcome you to the North American Forum on Family Planning, as well as the George Taylor Memorial Networking Reception. Now, networking reception. Those of you who have seen me in the last hour have seen that I basically spend this reception running around introducing people to other people, and that's exactly why this meeting was created.
Nice to meet you.
I have an abortion. My name is
Wow. Great. What's your
We're supposed to be introduced to Michelle in just a minute. Robert Sarkis with Biomass Procurement Services.
Okay.
We do tissue collection.
Oh, sweet.
Good to meet you.
And they're looking for Arizona's an area where they might be able to.
Right. We're based out of the Los Angeles area, like Norwalk, Long Beach, that kind of area.
Okay.
So Devin mentioned you as well as the Planned Parenthood affiliate in Arizona as well as good connections to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you?
It's been on my mind because I used to work at Planned Parenthood Los Angeles, and we used to have
Novogenics, I think, is the one that comes in to do it there.
Yeah.
So you have experience with providing material for research purposes. Yeah.
Due to some things going on at Planned Parenthood, I get a lot of referrals from Planned Parenthood. So I used to be medical director at Planned Parenthood, Arizona.
Okay.
That's how I ended up in Arizona.
Okay.
Because I was with Planned Parenthood Los Angeles, and also I was had an academic position at USC. That's how I know Deb Nuvitola. She trained me as a fellow. See, that's how I know Deb Nuvitola. She trained me.
That's how I know Debbie
Nicotola.
Well, she was the one eating salad in his previous undercover video, Center for Medical Progress, where she's allegedly offering, talking about different body parts to be sold, babies, body parts sold that are the consequence of ending the life of a child inside the
whole,
womb.
Whole, I believe, whole, intact.
Well, not as I thought that means, the SA or nodes.
I believe so, yes.
Well, you're looking at also that that she says she's the one that trained her. So she was on the podium saying, I'm networking, we're connecting you. And we find out that she led this undercover buyer, which was actually David Delight undercover, to a potential a buyer, which had been him, to the person, provider, which she was providing baby body parts. And we'll find out a little bit later on, she says, I even have a couple at 20 weeks. She basically has women walking around and she's thinking about how she's going to sell those baby body parts, why the child's still alive in the womb and the mother's not even in her clinic yet.
Well, one has to wonder, even if the woman who just had the abortion, if she is even aware that they're even selling the body parts
she
of the
baby. She is now.
Baby.
If you've seen this, I mean, they're selling your children. They're selling your body parts, the baby's body parts. And you're going to find out, and I hate that we're having to talk about this, but listen, we pray, we ask God to end abortion, every single program, end abortion, send revival. And this has to end. Innocent bloodshed has to end.
50 plus million abortions since Roe versus Wade, 1973. If you take the least populated states in our country, that'd be the equivalent of 50 million people.
Right. Wow.
That's half of the population of the United States in terms of states.
Well, listen, we're going to have more. We have more. We're going to break this down and talk about it because we have to understand so we can talk intelligently and not just spread rumors or, this is an alleged actual video undertaken of what's taking place. In the abortion industry where they're killing the children and selling the body parts. That's what the whole encounter was about. He's a buyer. She is the in-between the mother and their child, and this doctor is going to take that child out of the mother's womb, break it apart, and sell it to this potential buyer, which was undercover David Delighton. Mm. Listen, before we go to break, we have an offer for you. This is so important, understanding that there comes a time when oppression is over, but we have to be willing to fight for the freedom. This is one of those examples right here. We got a pro-life president. We got a pro-life vice president. We supposedly have a pro-life Congress. And they said that they're going to end it. So it's time to end it. So you have to begin to call them and say, listen, this has to end. And that's how you fight for it. You stand up for what's right. As a matter of fact, here's the details.
Offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom. There is a cost to living in rebellion to God and failing to acknowledge Him personally and as a nation. That cost is oppressive leadership or living an oppressed life. This kind of oppression is not to push us away from the Lord, but to bring us back to the Lord. The very reason it comes upon a nation is because they've turned away from God. Yet there comes a time when this oppression is over. In this message, you'll be able to gain wisdom from looking back and learning how Israel was under great oppression, as God had sold them to a ruthless, cruel governmental leader for 20 years. You'll also learn how important it is to turn back to God and listen for His voice, a word from the Lord, when He begins to give you wisdom and how to fight for your freedom, and how important it is to hear what He says, believe Him, and act on it to be free. You'll discover how many words of freedom from the Lord sit on the shelf waiting for someone to believe the oppression is over, believe God, and fight for the freedom that God wants you to believe. We learn all through this, through the life of Deborah. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can go to vfntv.com and become a partner by clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB360, Pensacola, Florida 32534, or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a rental unit above our garage, and we would like to qualify as much as possible the person that we have living so close to us in that unit. And I'd like to be able to know, can I ask if they are a Christian? Can I incorporate the Ten Commandments into the rental agreement? What can I do in that regard?
The Supreme Court of the various states have said, look, under your sincerely held religious beliefs, you cannot be compelled to rent your property to someone who's living in an arrangement that you find morally offensive. And there's been good support there. Now, when it comes to denying someone the ability to rent commercial real estate based on their religion, the courts have gone pretty much the other way. Once you've entered commercial enterprises, the laws against discrimination apply, and they should.
Visit us at ACLJ.com. That's ACLJ.org.
Patience today is given by Stephen Olson from West Palm Beach, Florida. Stephen's a vice president of an insurance industry and is a wonderful leader. And he wants me to talk for a moment about patience and how that is involved in a leader's life, because we think of a leader being out front, and we think of a leader as paving the way, and a leader as taking initiative. Now, how does patience work in a leadership realm? Well, this is very simple. What I discovered many years ago is that leaders never cross the finish line first. They just don't. And there's a reason for that. It's not because they're not fast. It's not because they couldn't win the race. They choose not to win the race alone. Did you hear what I say? They choose not to win the race alone. When they cross the finish line, they're going to have somebody with them. And if you have somebody with you, you have to wait on them. And that's where patience is a vital ingredient to a leader. Patience allows us to slow our pace so that when we cross the finish line, we're not the only one that is successful. We are helping others be successful also. What a tremendous quality of a leader. I would rather cross the finish line with someone and not be first than to be first and cross it alone. Because if you cross it alone, think about it, you have no one to celebrate your victory with.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We are looking at Center for Medical Progress undercover videos by David DeLeiden, where they allegedly filmed abortion doctors, one particular one, Dr. Taylor. And she's talking about to a prospective buyer that's buying baby body parts that of children she has not yet murdered and in their life, you know, aborted.
But she has them scheduled like they're
she's
coming in.
Scheduled
like,
coming in. And so he asked the question, you know, Have you ever faced a situation where the baby comes out fully, and use the word intact, but basically not ripped apart and crushed?
Right.
And this is her talking about it right now. Take a look.
That's so interesting. I mean, do you ever find yourself in a situation where like it would be easier if this, you know, this case kind of wants to come out intact, but you are kind of like, you have to make sure it doesn't, so the staff doesn't freak out? Or
that's one. And then another issue is Arizona is so conservative. I just don't even want to send a four-fetus to for cremation or
So she's saying her concern is not what she's doing, it's just people knowing what she's doing. She don't want to have to send the full baby to the crematory because people will know
that it's a baby.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, look what she says here. This is where she says, when they send death certificates for these children, it's like, that's a hint. That means there was life and now there's death.
Yeah.
And she says they call them babies. And she says that's kind of freaky.
Creepy.
What she's doing is not creepy.
No.
But the fact of calling a baby is creepy. Take a look.
We have to They email us calling them baby this, baby that, baby so-and-so. And I'm like, that's creepy.
It doesn't even make sense. How could calling a baby be creepy when the mother says, I'm pregnant, this is my baby kicking, that's my baby's heartbeat. And she's saying the fact that they call a baby is creepy. But her, as a matter of fact, listen to this. This is when she talks about digging. Let me tell you the definition of digging, because it doesn't seem like anything until you hear the definition of it. It's the breaking up and moving of earth with a tool or a machine or with hands or a plow or a snout. So when he's talking about digging, do you dig? That means do you break the baby all apart? Remember, her concern was that the baby comes out whole, then she has to send the whole baby to the crematory where people see what she's wholly doing.
Yeah.
And so at this point, they're asking, well, do you dig? And listen to what she says. And basically, do you go in there with tools and just tear the whole child apart? It's tragic, I know, but this is what she says. She take a look right now.
Do you dig?
Yeah.
Starting when?
20 weeks.
Starting at 20 weeks. Okay. Because that's the other thing, because, you know, dig kind of rules out.
It ruins the integrity of the specimen.
I mean, it kills the stem cells.
I mean, so the thing is, it's really, and then that really is an issue because in Arizona, if the fetus is comes out with any signs of life, we're supposed to transport it.
Uh-huh. At any gestational age?
Any
So it's dig, D-I-G, not dig, D-I-G. And so she's just openly saying that. You think about this. So obviously a death certificate, there's life involved there. Mm. And so he asks the question right here, David Delight, an undercover, you know, as a buyer from her selling baby body parts, you know, is there any standard procedure for verifying life? He asked her that question. As a matter of fact, take a look at her answer.
Is there any standard procedure for verifying signs of life?
Well, the thing is,
that doesn't go in a chart.
I mean, the key is, you need to pay attention to who's in the room, right? And the key is, you need to pay attention to who's in the room, right? And, like, you know.
Right.
Because the thing is, the law states you're not supposed to do any maneuvers after the fact to try to cause demise. So it's really tricky.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's really hard to navigate that bad.
Yeah. It's really tricky. So most of the time we do dig and it usually works.
Most of the time we do dig and it really works. We break the baby apart. That's what she's saying. You know, and he's talking about how do you verify life? Well, the way they make sure that doesn't happen is they kill the baby before it comes out. Because if the baby comes out, it's born alive. Bill Florida
has to be,
that.
Yeah, has to be transported to the hospital.
Yeah, because he's human or she's human. Well, the thing about it, then next question he asked her is, well, how do you prevent babies from being born alive? Listen to what she says. She's really saying most of the time we go in there with tools to kill the baby before the baby comes out. Dig, they call it, but you're going there with tools to break it apart. And she talks about how it puts a strain on her biceps, and she's just,
yeah.
It's like it's taking of human, that's creepy. Listen, we're going to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about, you know, with Prager University, you know, what really, not is this bad or good, or what's the morality of this going on? We need to understand the morality of this. Join us after the break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom Business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are showing a Center for Medical Progress undercover video where allegedly Planned Parenthood is selling body parts. That's David Dalyden right there. David Dalyden is the one that led this and uncovered such a tragedy that's taking place. And I want to encourage you that we wish we didn't have to bring this, but this is the unveiling of the evil that's going to come down. We've had several programs about David's earlier videos, and we had those available for you on the VFN Torch. We'll make them related to this particular program. But, you know, John, you were talking about during break.
She even talks
Dr.
about
Dr. Taylor. You're talking Dr. about
Dr. Taylor. She
abortions.
Talks about in this video that her biceps are flexing. That she doesn't have to go to the gym.
It hurts
her arm. She doesn't have to go to the gym because it takes physical force and effort to be able to pull these babies apart.
Right.
And you think about that, there's such a huge disconnect to what's actually even happening.
Well, she's talking about her bicep and she's talking about her arm. But remember in our previous programs, we had with her selling biceps.
Yes.
They're selling the eyes.
While she's ripping arms apart.
But she's going to sell all those parts.
Yeah.
And the strategy, so she's saying the safest thing to do is to snuff the life out of the kid before it comes outside, because once it comes outside, the law says in Arizona, I've got to carry that child to the hospital, because it's a child, because it's a human being, it has constitutional rights. You know, and it makes you think about, I mean, this is sad, but we need to pray for David Dalyden, because this young man in his 20s,
brave.
For years doing this work, there used to be investigative reporting, they used to do this all the time.
Used to.
It's not happening anymore, but David Dalyden has done it, you know, and he's a real humble man, just realizing this just needs to stop, in that the selling of baby body parts. And we saw some things where allegedly some Planned Parenthoods were putting, you know, they're shipping the parts off to different universities of the baby, and they're giving it a Federal Express identification number. So at that time, I don't know if that's changed or not. So when you're laying in bed at night, Federal Express was, these planes were carrying Federal Express packages, which were body parts. You know, that's what was happening. As we slept, God was watching this innocent bloodshed of children carried over our nation. That's why it has to stop. If we want to see the revival, if we want to see great awakening take place, and that's, we have to have that. And we got fixing to go to this video right here. This is so important because we don't want to talk about, bad or good.
Legal or unlegal.
This is Prager University talking about the morality of abortion. Take a look.
Let's talk about one of the most emotionally charged subjects there is, abortion, but in an unemotional way. Also, let's not touch on the question that most preoccupies discussion of the subject, whether abortion should be legal or illegal. The only question here is the moral one. Is ending the life of a human fetus moral? Let's begin with this question. Does the human fetus have any value and any rights? Now, it's a scientific fact that a human fetus is human life. Those who argue that the human fetus has no rights say that a fetus is not a person. But even if you believe that, it doesn't mean the fetus has no intrinsic value or no rights. There are many living beings that are not persons that have both value and rights. Dogs and other animals, for example. And that's moral argument number one. A living being doesn't have to be a person in order to have intrinsic moral value and rights. When challenged with this argument, people usually change the subject to the rights of the mother, meaning the right of a mother to end her fetus's life under any circumstance, for any reason, and at any time in her pregnancy. Is that moral? It is only if we believe that the human fetus has no intrinsic worth. But in most cases, nearly everyone believes that the human fetus has essentially infinite worth and an almost absolute right to live. When? When a pregnant woman wants to give birth. Then society and its laws regard the fetus as so valuable that if someone were to kill that fetus, that person could be prosecuted for homicide. Only if a pregnant woman doesn't want to give birth do many people regard the fetus as worthless. Now, does that make sense? It doesn't seem to. Either a human fetus has worth, or it doesn't. And this is moral argument number two. On what moral grounds does the mother alone decide a fetus's worth? We certainly don't do that with regard to a newborn child. It is society, not the mother or the father, that determines whether a newborn child has worth and a right to live. So the question is, why should that be different before the human being is born? Why does one person, a mother, get to determine whether that being has any right to live? People respond by saying that a woman has the right to control her body. Now, that is entirely correct. The problem here, however, is that the fetus is not her body. It is in her body. It is a separate body. And that's moral argument number three. No one ever asks a pregnant woman, "How's your body?" when asking about the fetus. People ask, "How's the baby?" Moral argument number four. Virtually everyone agrees that the moment the baby comes out of the womb, killing the baby is murder. But deliberately killing it a few months before birth is considered no more morally problematic than extracting a tooth. How does that make sense? And finally, moral argument number five. Aren't there instances in which just about everyone, even among those who are pro-choice, would acknowledge that an abortion might not be moral? For example, would it be moral to abort a female fetus solely because the mother prefers boys to girls, as has happened millions of times in China and elsewhere? And one more example. Let's say science develops a method of determining whether a child in the womb is gay or straight. Would it be moral to kill a gay fetus because the mother didn't want a gay child? People may offer practical reasons not to criminalize all abortions. People may differ about when personhood begins and about the morality of abortion after rape or incest. But with regard to the vast majority of abortions, those of healthy women aborting a healthy fetus, let's be clear. Most of these abortions just aren't moral. Good societies can survive people doing immoral things. But a good society cannot survive if it calls immoral things moral. I'm Dennis Prager.
This is so important. That is the truth in regards to morality and how God's going to hold us accountable. And I just want to encourage you. God said that the seed of evil is going to come down and the seed of the righteous is going to rise. But when God gives us the freedom, we have to begin to fight in the context and stand up for what's right. And so hold your Congress and your president and everybody accountable for what they said they're going to do. I just want to pray right now. Father God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion in this land. Lord, forgive us for the sin of abortion in our nation, in our community. Forgive us the sin, God, the bloodshed, God. Forgive us for the sin of abortion. End abortion.
Yes.
Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word. It blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person.
Yes.
Another person is living and
active. Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows. You know how to speak to us, and,
right?
And it's just awesome. It's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah, when you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15. You know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no, because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.